Welcome back to Word Balloon, the comic book conversation show. John Suntris here. We got a single creator spotlight for you, and it's Alex Segura, who is one of the creative officers over at Archie Comics. He's written a few Archie stories back in the day as well, and he is currently in charge of the Dark Circle line of comics. Those are Archie's superhero line, and Archie's superhero line goes back to the 40s and really the golden age of comics. There are going to be new takes on the Black Hood and the Shield to go along with Dean Haspiel and Mark Waid's excellent run on the Fox, which continues as well. It all starts up in February, and Alex has a great preview of that. Archie also made the news last week with the announcement that Riverdale is a new TV series that's in development at Fox. Roberto Aguirre-Sciaza is the guy that's writing it, and he's the chief creative officer of Archie on the Riverdale side and all the Archie Universe stuff and Sabrina. So Alex, as the publicity and PR manager, gives us some details on that, and it's a great conversation. In addition to that, Alex is a mystery writer, a crime novelist, and we talk about his first crime novel and plans for novel number two. So a nice full conversation with Alex Segura for today's Word Balloon. It's all brought to you by the League of Word Balloon listeners. Thank you very much for your support. Don't forget, if you go to patreon.com/wordballoon, that's the place to go if you want to help Word Balloon out and subscribe to the show. The show is free. It will always be free. But if you want to help out, a dollar a month would be fantastic. If you go to patreon.com/wordballoon or go to wordballoon.com and look at the tab there, and it'll give you all the details on how to subscribe. Word Balloon is also brought to you by InStock Trades at InStockTrades.com. Tremendous deals are going on at InStockTrades.com. In fact, you can save up to 60% on select Marvel titles while supplies last. Check that out. There's also great savings going on, 60% on select DC titles. Plus, American Vampire trade paperbacks, volume 1 through 5, 45% off. You can also get an extra 2% on your orders in general. Look at InStockTrades.com for more details on that. And in the meantime, check out some of these great values that are going on. You can get the Alias Omnibus hardcover, new packaging, 50% off. It's just $49.99. You can get All-Star Western trade paperback, volume 5, Man Out of Time, Jonah Hex. Man, what a great story that was from Jimmy Palmiotti and Justin Gray and company. 50% off. It's just $8.49. You can get Gotham City Sirens trade paperback volume 1, 50% off, just $12.49. I was just talking about this with Jason Aaron, and we talk about it further in an upcoming Word Balloon episode. Original Sin trade paperback, Hulk versus Iron Man. Excellent side story for the Original Sin event. 50% off. It's just $8.49. You can get Dan Slott and Mike Allred, Silver Surfer, Volume 1, New Dawn. 50% off. It's just $8.99. And there's a whole lot more. For all the details, check it out at InStockTrades.com. Okay, you know, it's been nonstop, really, in September and in October for me with the surgery. And then also, it's just been nonstop at the day job at work. So you'll forgive me for a slightly shorter Word Balloon today. But, man, you know, we're still giving you a good long interview with Alex Segura. It's good stuff. There's going to be one more episode coming before the end of October. But I did want to apologize that I'm not giving you your usual Mondo, you know, 2 to 3 hour Word Balloon like we normally do. I promise I'll make up for it with the Jason Aaron interview coming up and the weeks ahead into November. But it really has been crazy. So I appreciate your patience. I hope the entertainment is still there for you. And I know it will be in this conversation with Alex Segura. Man, it's a pleasure. He worked at DC for quite some time. And that's when I first met Alex. He had a quick short tour with Archie, came back to DC, and now is back with Archie in New York. And I think is a very great place. And Archie, once again, is pulling all these interesting creative minds from various circles to help the Archie brand. And man, I'll tell you, the Dark Circle slate that's coming up, when you hear these creators and some of these ideas, you are going to be as blown away as I was. Let's get into our conversation with Alex Segura to start things off today on Word Balloon. Well, this is very exciting for me because he's a guy that I've known for years behind the scenes and has always been an important cog in the various publishers that he's worked for. But it's nice to talk to Alex Segura as an executive and a creator now with Archie Comics. It's good to talk to you, Alex. How you been?
Hey, John. Thanks for having me. It's a real treat. I've been, like I was just telling you before we got into the recording mode, I've been a fan of the show, and, you know, we've sent many an email back and forth, so this is cool.
Absolutely, and you've been like, you know, in the background on many a conference call, interview as well in the past. So it's nice to have you out front and being able to respond directly on the record and stuff. So
as opposed to saying stuff like no comment or interjecting myself. But yeah, you make me sound much more menacing than I really am.
No, he can't talk about that. Stop.
right.
It's a new world. It's all right. What is your exact title now at Archie?
Well, it's funny. I have two titles. They're both important. My publicity title is Senior Vice President of Publicity and Marketing, and that just means I oversee Archie's kind of external messaging. That's the shorthand I use. So, you know, press, social media, marketing, ad budgets, and stuff like that. That kind of all crosses my desk in various forms. And my other title is editor of Dark Circle Comics, which is our superhero imprint, still to be born, which will be hitting early next year.
Yeah, it's exciting. And we're going to talk about what Dean Haspiel and Mark Waid has been doing on the Fox and the other initial heroes that you're lining up for Dark Circle. But I guess we should start really with the news that hit yesterday as we're recording this. Riverdale is a new TV series in development with Fox. You tell me the details, and then I'll see what questions I can ask and you can answer.
Yeah, I'll give you the very bare bones stuff of it. It's Fox picked up the series. Greg Berlanti is going to be producing, and it's going to be written by Roberto Aguirre-Sacasa, who's our amazing chief creative officer, and he's also the writer of Afterlife with Archie and Sabrina. Mm-hmm. Which just launched a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, the catchphrase that Roberto's been using is it's Archie meets David Lynch, which to me is super compelling and I think really cool. I'm not really the point person to speak to it, but I'm excited by the news. I think it's a great moment for the company. It's kind of a testament to the great things John Goldwater, our CEO and publisher, has done over the last 6 years. So it's kind of the latest and greatest for us, and I think it's the beginning of much more.
Yeah, we're going to get into it more with Roberto, I think, in the weeks ahead on Word Balloon, and we'll maybe talk a little bit more creatively. But it does speak to the big picture of Archie, and it's something that I've discussed with the creators. You know, this is your second go-around with Archie, right? It was a couple of years ago that you were with Archie initially, and then you came back in the last 2 years or so.
Yeah, that's true. If you want to be super technical, it's actually my third time doing work with Archie capacity. Yeah, way back when I was just a freelancer and a newspaper person by day, I did some freelance publicity for Archie. And then, then I went to D.C. and I was there for about 5 years, and then we did the hopscotching back and forth.
That's cool. And, hey, man, and I've said this to the creators, and I said it to John in my interview with him a few months ago. I really love the attitude that it seems that Archie has in terms of, and really Riverdale speaks to this, why not? As opposed to why. And it seems like that the characters are well known enough on the Archie and the teenage side, Archie, Sabrina, Josie, etc., that you can, ply them into these different formats. And it's been done before. I mean, The Man from Riverdale was a good example of that a few years ago. But it really seems, God, with Lena Dunham coming on soon to do some stuff, certainly the work that Roberto has been doing, the art choices in particular, I think, on a lot of alternate covers. And my personal favorite series that I was sorry to see wrap up this summer, Life with Archie. I mean, these are great, fun ways to play with Archie. And it's still at its core, absolutely the Archie world and universe. But it just seems like there is this kind of creative charge. And we're going to talk about it with Dark Circle. But yeah, let's just talk about, the atmosphere as far as the teenage side of Archie and the traditional side of Archie.
Yeah, I think one of John's big, big kind of catchphrases is we're open for business. Why not try these things with Archie? Archie, Jughead, Betty and Veronica, they're these iconic characters. But, if you leave icons alone and let them collect dust, that's what they're going to be. They're not going to age. They're not going to modernize or develop. And I think what John discovered with Mike Colorito and some of the other great people at Archie is that these characters are extremely flexible. In the same way that Batman can be in a comedy kind of wacky 60s book, he can also be in a dark noir or a gothic tale. It's still Archie as long as you keep it true to the character. And that's what you see in Afterlife. Like, he's got a zombie apocalypse happening, but he's still, he's still trying to figure out between Betty and Veronica, or decide between Betty and Veronica.
Absolutely. And again, the art choices, right. I think, have been very exciting as well. You know, certainly Francesco Francavilla on Afterlife with Archie. But, man, I'll tell you, like Jill Thompson and I'm just spitballing off my head, Phil Jimenez doing some amazing alternate covers. It's just really been fun. And I hope, and again, this is more, I guess, a question for Roberto down the line, but I hope that that's going mm-hmm. to be more in, like you're doing with Afterlife with Archie, that I really do love that traditional Dan DiCarlo style, house style of Archie, or Stan Goldberg, to name, you know, a couple of the old timers that have that traditional Archie look and stuff. And guys like Norm Brayfogle have been able to kind of play with the template and still have a distinct look to, you know, his book when he was doing Life with Archie, for example. But yeah, I just think that it's not only from a story standpoint, but artistically as well. It's just fun to see all these people play with Archie. God, I know you know about Cliff Chang's awesome 90s rock band version of the Archie.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of my...
It's hanging up in my apartment. I have a print that I got from Cliff a couple of years ago, and it's one of my favorite pieces of artwork. I think Cliff really captured the essence of the character is in this great, like, it was almost like a Love and Rockets mashup.
Yeah.
Just kind of style and you know, but yeah, the art is very important, and I don't think you'll ever see the quote-unquote classic house style go away. If anything, you'll see it develop in the same way you saw it develop from, you know, Harry Lucy to DiCarlo to people like Dan Perrin and Fernando. You'll see the next generation, and Norm's a good example, and I think the strongest example are probably, you know, Pat and Tim Kennedy, who did Life with Archie, but then can also shift over and do a standard Archie issue, and they kind of modernize the look without tinkering with it all that much. Mm-hmm. But you'll see that evolution on one track, and then you'll also see stuff like, you know, Fiona Staples doing a variant, or the great Stephanie Buscema covers, and, you know, Francesco. There's a great stable of artists that are always open to working with us, and, you know, I only think that'll expand over the years.
Excellent. That's really, really cool. And like I said, yeah, we'll get into it more with Roberto further on. But Dark Circle, which is the Red Circle Heroes, they might be known as the Red Circle Heroes, and it's funny because it really was, in the original days, was it MJP or MJL, the original name for Archie Comics?
MLJ.
MLJ, yeah. Thank you. Okay. And yeah, you know, I mean, am I correct? I mean, Archie was originally a sub-feature in, I want to say, Pep Comics, where there were, you know, a ton of superheroes. And that's the thing. I mean, you know, some people might not realize that Archie's superhero lineage does go back to the Golden Age and predates Archie.
Yeah, I mean, Archie was there with, you know, DC and then the companies that predated Marvel in the Golden Age, and the Shield actually came up. You know, we say this many times, and I say it more emphatically now because we're not really competing with Captain America, but the Shield came out before Cap. So
that's right.
There was a stable of superheroes, and then Archie just kind of showed up and took over, which is fine. I'm sure the company that is now named for him is very grateful that that happened. But, you know, the Dark Circle line is an evolution of that, and it's really, I think the rebranding was really important for us because, to be frank, I mean, the Red Circle brand and the concept of Red Circle have been rebooted and restarted and kind of redone so many times that I think the characters and the ideas are still strong and still there, but the concept of it as a universe had kind of felt worn out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea was, let's put a new coat of paint on it, let's make a clean break from what's happened before, and let's show these characters and these great concepts in a new light, and also present these kind of essential stories that no one's really told yet with this IP or these characters.
Yeah, let's, you know, go through them, because that's the thing. I think, again, the templates that were there and initially created are very strong, very familiar in terms of classic story tropes of superheroes. But the opportunity, as you say, is there because there really is so much that can be done with them, as it has been at Marvel and DC, and the evolution of superheroes in those publications. And, you know, I mean, you know, we could start with the Fox and talk about what Dean and Mark are doing over there. And I say Dean first, not only because he's an amazing artist, but I'm right. He's kind of, and I've spoken to Dean about this, he's really plotting the book. And Mark, I mean, certainly, obviously, Mark has a lot of input, but it's like Dean first and Mark is scripting as Dean kind of directs it, or correct me if I'm wrong.
Right. No. Dean is the mastermind. He's plotting and coming up with the pitch and doing the artwork very much in the Marvel style. And then Mark comes in and adds script, and, you know, his input cannot be measured. Mark's great. Sure. And a huge, huge part of Dark Circle. But yeah, the insanity that is fox hunt starts with Dean and is a big part of Dean. And it's really just a treat to watch those pages come in. I've known Dean a long time, and he's got such a love for comics, and it shows on every page he sends in. And if people think they know what Fox is going to be based on the first series, they should really expect that to explode, because it's really taking the hook of what Dark Circle is, like reimagining these characters and kind of blowing up any preconceptions and taking it to the next level, I think.
Oh, so you're not following what, you know, Dean and Mark had initially done in the original run?
Oh, no, no, no. I didn't mean to confuse you. It is a continuation. It's the second book in that series.
Okay.
It's the launch of the ongoing book. I think the first Fox series was very much a proto-Dark Circle book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in an ideal world, it would have all launched together, you know, but these things happen. And I think as the first mini under Dark Circle, I think, is really amping things up. And you know, having Jose Villarrubia doing the colors, it's a tonal shift from what came before, and I think it's a lot of fun. I think Dean's really cutting loose, and, you know, Mark, Dean, and the editor on the book, Paul Kaminsky, are all kind of jamming on it, and it's really turning into a fun thing.
And it's also, I think, taking Dean's style that he's done in books like Billy Dogma and applying it to a more traditional superhero, at least from the outside. But you get into some crazy kind of existential, you know, ideas and craziness that Dean is known for, and Mark can certainly hang with that. And again, you've got Mark's classic superhero training, but also Mark is certainly not a traditionalist to the point where he is not incapable of coming up with new and innovative ideas. So I really think you've got two guys that really do love, you know, traditional superhero stuff, but are also artistic enough to, you know, take a left turn and take us with.
Well, it's great that you bring up Dean's more indie work, because I very vividly remember a conversation with Dean and Paul Kaminsky, the editor on the book, where we just said, look, you know, cut loose. This is not time to just do another. Not that Dean wanted to just do another one, but, mm-hmm. you know, this is a time to really push the envelope and really go to your roots of being this kind of DIY indie, you know, contrarian creator that just, you know, has a voice, and that's what we want. We want each book to have a definitive voice, to feel different from the others, the other two and the other three, or however the line evolves. It's really be kind of an exercise in genre, and less about, oh, here's another vigilante superhero book, or here's another funny superhero book, or here's another, you know, spy book. You know, it's more about the genre and the style and the cinematic and kind of literary approach, as opposed to just being a cog in a bigger puzzle, you know, like you have to buy them all to figure out what's going on.
Oh, that's cool. That's interesting, because you've really got three very different creative teams. Well, before we leave the Fox, there's been a S.H.I.E.L.D. backup in there that was written by Jan DeMatteis, and Mike Cavallari, right, was doing the art?
Yeah, Mike Cavallaro.
Mike Cavallaro, excuse me. Okay, yeah, man, it's been a couple of years since I've seen Mike. Great guy, great Brooklyn cartoonist, and I love Parade and a lot of his indie work. And again, a very distinct visual style. And also, God, Mark, Jan DeMatteis has been really, you know, I think, wrestling with the idea of the superhero, and was taking the classic S.H.I.E.L.D. and asking kind of a lot of big picture super soldier kind of questions. And where does the patriotic hero fit into today's world? And that, I know that was a big thing for him at IDW with one of his independent books. And he had kind of a super soldier kind of template there. And it seemed like, again, he was kind of hunting around in the same area in his S.H.I.E.L.D. backup. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would totally agree. I think Mark has a history of doing these kind of, in, you know, stories where he gets to this into the psyche of the hero, dating mm-hmm. back to even before, you know, one of my favorite runs of his was his long tenure on Spectacular Spider-Man, and it was just such a different but honest approach to the character. And, you know, stuff like Kraven's Last Hunt and everything like that, he just knows how to get into a character's brain and really walk you through what makes them tick. I think something like the S.H.I.E.L.D. backups were great, but when we came to Dark Circle and figured out, you know, we're going to have, you know, we need to go in this direction and start fresh, you know, that's what we did. But it doesn't mean that those books didn't happen or that there isn't a greater continuity. It's just not something we're harping on, because, you know, you want people to come in and try these books without any expectation that they have to read a million other things to just understand what's going on.
Sure. Okay, that's fair. And again, I can appreciate, too, because I think the patriotic hero as a woman, with the exception of Wonder Woman, isn't something that's really explored in depth. And again, this might be a preconceived notion of mine in terms of what this new female Shield will represent. But, you know, tell me about the new Shield book.
Well, The Shield, it's written by Chuck Wendig and Adam Christopher. These are two novelists who are relatively new to comics, but not new to, you know, the literary world. But they are comic book fans. They know the material. They are definitely well-versed in the world of comics. And it just seemed like such a great out-of-left-field choice because, you know, what I want and what we've wanted from Dark Circle is to have creators come in who aren't, you know, typical comic creators, not, you know, not just the standard bearers who are going to just turn in a solid script or a solid story. We wanted someone with, you know, unique and outside perspectives, and Chuck and Adam had a really great pitch for The Shield, and they turned in actually a really great pitch for the Joe Higgins character, and we said, you know, why don't we push it a little further? What if it's a new Shield? What if it's a different character? What if, you know, she was female? You know, what if, let's not feel constrained by what's come before, with the understanding that this can all be woven together at some point, you know? It's not to disparage or kind of denounce the past, but it's, you know, Dark Circle is a new launch. It's a new interpretation of these characters, and hopefully these will become the definitive versions. But you never know. You just want to tell a good story at first and hope it works from there. The Shield, to me, is, like I was saying, you know, if the Black Hood is much more a noir book than it is a superhero book, to me, The Shield is really a conspiracy thriller kind of spy and commentary on the world and government, more so than a superhero punch-em-up, though there will be a lot of that. And there will be some fantasy and sci-fi elements that are, you know, people see in Chuck and Adam's own novels. So,
interesting. Okay. Wow. That's okay. That's different than certainly what's come before. And obviously that is what you're trying to accomplish here. I'll have to see and, you know, figure out.
There will be a lot of exploring, like, what it means to be a patriotic hero today. I think,
okay,
you know, it steps away from the kind of worn ground of, you know, I'm a man out of time. What do? You know, I think that's been covered pretty well by Captain America and the Shield. This is really more of a kind of supernatural force of nature that comes to our country during its time of need. But what happens when she appears and she doesn't know why she's here, you know, and she doesn't know who she is? And, you know, Chuck and Adam are exploring a lot of different layers that involve, you know, deal with identity and, you know, direction. And what if you are a fan of, or what if you're loyal to the ideals of a country, but not the people executing the ideals, you know, the government or, you know, its elected officials. So it's really layered. It's really deep. I don't want to make it sound too heavy handed. It is an action book. There will be punching villains in the face and destroying things. So it will sate people that are looking for that, but it's a little bit, you know, it's a little bit more intense than that.
Okay. And then let's get into the Black Hood, and then we'll pull back and talk about the line more in general. Man, I'll tell you, I'm a huge Black Hood fan. I've even read a couple reprints of some of the pulp stories of the Black Hood because I don't know how long of a pulp history the character had, but it was cool to see the traditional yellow and black costume on a pulp cover. And, you know, I'm not really sure even who put it out, but this was about 10 or 15, maybe even 20 years ago. I remember maybe it was in the 90s, seeing a Black Hood pulp. And this was Kip Berlin, the original Black Hood character.
Right.
And cop by day, vigilante by night. And also, I know that there were some traditional 60s Crusader era Black Hood stories. But am I right that in the 70s or something? Because I remember seeing like what looked like a Bronze Age story. And I don't even know who did the art, but it was in one of those Archie Digests. And that's really where I read the majority of, you know, my Red Circle reading and stuff was when, you know, they do a Pureheart the Powerful and Captain Hero and Super Teen, all of the Archies as superheroes, but then also fill it up with, you know, a bunch of old inventory stuff from, you know, back in the Red Circle line back in the 60s. Was there, you know, have you come across this? I mean, I'm sure you did when you were setting up the line, but can you give me more details on that Bronze Age thing before we get into the new team?
I mean, there's been so many great creators that have contributed to the line and to Black Hood in particular, guys like Gray Morrow and Alex Toth. So I think that's probably what you're
probably
thinking of.
Yeah, probably Gray Morrow. It was because it was an origin story, and it was like almost like, if not Kip's son, or, you know, it was very, very Green Hornet, almost like what Now Comics did with the Green Hornet in the 90s. But again, this was a good 10 or 15 years before that. So it was, like I said, either mid 70s or very early 80s.
That was, That would be my guess. And, I mean, there was also the Impact stuff, which I was a fan of growing up. And that Black Hood just was that first issue was such a jaw-dropper in terms of shock value. You know, you get invested and suddenly the character's gone right away.
Yeah.
But, you know, in terms of Black Hood, it was similar to how the Shield and in a way the Fox came together. I was thinking, you know, who would be, you know, it'd be perfect to get a crime writer to write this.
Yeah.
And Dwayne's a friend. I've known him a long time. I love his books. And I really, the first thing I said to him was, can you bring, not that he's never done this, but I said, can you bring the approach you would from your novels to this? This is a crime novel told in serial form, in comic form, and I think that jazzed him up, and he sent us a pitch that he thought we were just going to balk at. But then we actually just said, you know, can you go a little bit further? And so I think that's when he felt, okay, now I'm home, this is really going to be fun, and the fact that we got Michael Gatos to draw it I thought was really a coup, because, I mean, Gatos is such a classic noir artist.
Yep.
Every panel he draws, even if he's drawing a coffee cup on the table, looks noir and looks dark and, you know, edgy, and he's such a sweet guy. You think, how do these crazy things come out of your pen when you're such a sweet, nice guy?
That's true.
But Alias is one of my favorite comics.
Amen.
Ever. I mean, Bendis and Gatos did this masterwork that, you know, I'm looking at the hardcover on my shelf now. But, you know, getting him on art and Dwayne just really kind of cranked up and ready to go, I think we've put together a nice book. I really can't wait to put this in people's hands.
Well, you know, I'm a big Dwayne Szczesny fan as well, ever since Greg Rucka told me about him as a novelist, and The Wheelman was the first thing of his that I read. And he's done excellent comic book work, and I've been meaning to get him on for a long time, so I'll probably be hitting you up in the months ahead. And once the series gets started, I would love to talk to Dwayne about Black Hood, because it is a perfect fit.
Oh, definitely.
And you're right about Mike, too. Mike Gatos, you know, there's just this realism to Mike's art, very much in the way, and it's weird to say this about David Mack, because David always has this background of impressionistic ideas behind his very realistic-looking characters. With Mike, it's all realism. And I know David is even doing a couple alternate covers for you, right?
Yeah, it's kind of a mini Alias reunion. David's going to be doing some variants for us. He's doing the first five. He's doing variants. So he's doing the first story arc, variant covers for the first story arc. So, and he's done really a remarkable job of kind of, you know, putting what Michael and Dwayne are doing through the filter of David Mack, which is always awesome to see. He turned them all in a flurry, and I was just blown away. It's like, wow, I can't handle all this cool stuff in my inbox all at once. But, you know, he's amazing. He's again, this really sweet guy, very hardworking, great artist, and these crazy things come out. So it's really awesome to deal with him.
That's excellent. And yeah, no, man, I'll confess that. I mean, I really love what Dean and Mark are doing, and I'm intrigued at what's coming for the Shield. But when I heard that Dwayne and Mike are going to be doing Black Hood, that absolutely got my attention. And I think it's a perfect match. And it's great to hear again that, you know, no, there is no line of, okay, this far and no further. And maybe that's what held back the Red Circle attempts at bringing these characters back, because it was always, I think, in the forefront of Archie as a publisher that, all right, you know, we are catering to a kid audience. So, you know, let's have fun and action. And like you said, the Impact Comics, and there have been, you know, good efforts. And like I said, I love that Gray Morrow Black Hood from the Browse
right.
Age and stuff. But yeah, that there was kind of a this far and no farther, because let's not forget our audience. And again, the great thing is now Archie really is kind of opening the windows and the doors and saying, no, everybody's in, and we want an adult audience, and we want to obviously intrigue people, because it's a crowded superhero world. And that's always, whenever another publisher, I shouldn't say a new publisher, because certainly Archie isn't new and not new with these
right.
characters, but a new approach to these characters. But yeah, you know, it's a crowded superhero world, so you really have to have a compelling reason, I think, to put out superheroes in this environment with the big two so entrenched as they are, the massive following that they have, and everybody's fighting for the same $4 to $5 an issue, which is crazy on itself. But, you know, I mean, that's the thing. So to really compete with superheroes is really daunting. And I think you're going in the right direction of having these kind of creators and these kind of different ideas.
Yeah, I think part of it is you can't expect everyone to buy everything, you know, and not every book is for everyone. And I think that sounds a little dire, but it's not. It's just these books will have a voice, and they'll appeal to the people that are turned on by that kind of content, and we'll go from there. I mean, Black Hood is a crime book, and The Shield is, you know, an action thriller book, and The Fox is kind of a whacked out you know, superheroes on acid book. And, you know, these things are great and they have an audience, and it's really just a matter of telling the best stories we can and putting together creators that we can talk to and say, this is what we're looking for, and just let them, you know, kind of cut loose and not feel constrained by, oh no, this is happening in Shield number 4, so I can't do that in Black Kid number 7. You know, just the kind of continuity hodgepodge that you get from a lot of comics where you don't feel like you're getting the whole story, or just getting kind of a drop in the bigger bucket. I think, you know, if you read the first 5 issues of Black Hood, you will get a complete story. If you read the first issue, you'll get a complete story. It's really all about, it's much more cinematic. We look to shows like, you know, True Detective and Boardwalk Empire and kind of those serialized TV series as a little bit of an inspiration, more so than other comics. I think that's a different direction. I mean, it's not a world-changing thing, but it's a slightly different approach.
Well, you just answered my next question, which was going to be, how are you going to approach, you know, story arcs? And it sounds like you are going to attempt to do as complete of a story as you can in each issue, which I think is great. And it's something that I've always liked about Archie in general, you know, on the teenage side and stuff, is you could buy an issue of Archie and be very satisfied. And even Life with Archie, which was an ongoing story, was a great example of, you know, getting your money's worth and everything. And again, it's that each issue, and as you're introducing this new product, you know, are people going to be satisfied? So it sounds like that's one of your dictates to the creators and stuff, is to make every issue, is that right, as complete as possible? Or, you know, again, you correct
me if
I'm
wrong. Yeah, everyone is investing. If you're investing money in a single issue, you should feel like you've gotten your money's worth. I mean, there will be a beginning, middle, and end. There'll be some extras in each issue. You know, we'll have some essays in the back of the Black Hood talking about true crime in Philly and stuff like that.
Oh, fun.
Just really experiential, you know, just giving readers an experience that they wouldn't get otherwise. You know, we really want to create a world. And it isn't to say that these things are happening in different dimensions or whatever. I mean, it's all happening in the same kind of Dark Circle universe. We're not turning that up heavily yet.
Okay.
You know, we want to get these guys rolling and get these characters on their feet before we start talking about crossovers and team-ups and things like that.
So have you been dealing with the creative team separately? Has there been a big kind of, you know, summit where all the Dark Circle people are together and talking?
They're all informed of what the others are doing. You know, we pass stuff around as necessary. And, mm-hmm. And it was actually a lot of fun in New York Comic Con. We had our first ever Dark Circle panel. And so we had Chuck, the co-writer of The Shield. We had Dwayne and we had Dean and a bunch of the key Archie execs. And it was really a great time. And next thing you know, they're signing books and talking about doing kind of this Rashomon-style crossover. And that may never happen. It was really, more just seeing these great creative minds kind of riffing on each other. So, you know, I think down the line we'll see how it goes, but it really has to make sense, and it has to make sense for all the characters. It you know, off the top of my head, the Black Hood is such a grounded, real-world story. It wouldn't make sense, really, for him to kind of cross paths with a super-powered being. But you never know. Like, if the story works, then it works.
Well, you know, I was congratulating the Chew guys and the Revival guys for taking two very different books and making it work in each other's books and everything. So, you know, yeah. And again, you've got interesting creative people together, so it might be interesting. And the idea of a Rashomon, I think, crossover is very intriguing. And I mean, I that sounds like Dean, and I think that's cool. And I could see the others getting excited about that. Is it going to be that? And the only example I can give is the Image example of, you know, putting out 5 issues, put out a trade, and then doing the next one? Or are you just pretty much going to go on monthly, and, you know, when issue 6 comes out, issue 5 or the trade of the first 5 will already be up and on the shelves as well?
Yeah, the very rough model we have is similar to what Image is doing, where you'll see, you know, 5 or 6 issues, then there will be a trade, ideally timed to the next issue in the ongoing. So someone who maybe hasn't gotten the first few issues but wants to jump in on the next storyline can just grab the trade and then hop in with the story. But we're also going to try and space it out so, you know, retailers have an incentive to order the single issues and then also order the trade. You know, we don't want to undercut ourselves, and we also realize that, you know, we have to make a market for the single books as well.
Okay. And how, you know, I know certainly it seems like on the digital side, again, the Riverdale universe seems to be doing well on the digital side. Are you doing anything to alert, and I don't even know beyond, you know, Comixology or whatever, but to alert potential digital interest and everything? Are you doing anything different to promote things on the digital side?
Yeah, I think it's not a surprise to say that we're going to refurbish the current Red Circle app to be a Dark Circle Comics app. That'll probably launch closer to the launch of Black Hood 1, which is the first book out of the gate. And we really want it to be an updated look. We want it to be a much more robust app in terms of the historical material. There'll be some really pleasant surprises, I think, when people log in and download that app, as far as what they see made available for sale, things that we have not put out there in a long time that will really add to kind of this sense of history, but also create some excitement for what's coming up. You know, hopefully have some preview material. Yeah, yeah. Should be cool.
Yeah, no, go on. Yeah, preview material. What else? Like, what else can you tell us?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. We'll have some preview material, some back matter. It should be neat. I think I'm really excited about the digital aspect of it, and I think it'll really just add to the greater experience of Dark Circle.
God, I hope that the Gray Morrow and Alex Toth Black Hood stuff finds its way on the digital side. It'd be great to see that stuff come out.
Maybe.
Okay, fair enough. I understand.
Yeah, yeah.
No, don't serve the wine before it's time. I understand. It's okay. But I'll just put my vote out there because, like I said, I am such a fan of what I read back then. And again, I mean, this was years ago, and it just blew my mind. And I'm like, oh, you know, is there more of this? And of course, there wasn't then. So I don't even know how long that Bronze Age Black Hood even run lasted. Was it more than two or three issues?
It wasn't very long. It definitely didn't go like past five or six issues. I have to go back and check. I don't want to be completely off base. I mean, I know it ran for a couple issues, and it was really excellent. The Gray Morrow stuff, those Alex Toth covers, and it was just kind of one of those things you wish lasted much longer, but you can savor it for what it was.
Sure, absolutely. No, man, that's great. Well, you know, it's like everyone talks about Steranko's Captain America run, and he's like, yeah, my run, three issues. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's not really. I mean, it's a run. It is a run. Anything more than two, I guess, is a run.
I guess, but no, and that's and certainly in that period too, when you didn't get numbers until 6 months after they were off the stands or whatever, and even those numbers were never really numbers you can count on. So I can only imagine what the powers that be back then were thinking. So no, this sounds great, man. So you're going to start with the Black Hood. When does the Black Hood debut?
Black Hood launches in February, and if I can zoom out just a second for people, I think one of the things that we've talked about in terms of Dark Circle is that, the term creator-driven sometimes gets maligned because it seems like a shortcut around being creator-owned. Obviously, these are company-owned characters, and, it's characters that have long been in the Archie stable, but we have, really, I think, gone above and beyond in just telling the creators, cut loose. There's no limits. It all points to you telling a unique story that doesn't feel like a retread or something, or, like maybe a story for another character that you just kind of did a find and replace on. Not that people do that, but you know what I mean? Bring something different to the table and bring something edgy and hopefully new. And that's really what we're hoping for. We've put together some talent that I'm blown away that we got the talent we did. I'm excited that they're here. And I wish I could start announcing some of the other stuff we have coming up because it would be great.
Understood. Well, yeah, there's the web, there's the Jaguar. I mean, those are a couple, or Jaguar. I don't even know how you properly say it, but I remember them from the Crusader days. It will be interesting to see. There are certainly other characters in the Archie hero pantheon that can be dusted off and represented. So it will be interesting to see what you guys have coming up. And again, like we said, with Gray Morrow and Alex Toth and stuff over the decades, I mean, God, Simon and Kirby's Private Strong Shield story that unfortunately got, I think, squashed because and I even forget the legal reasons why or whatever. But, again, it's those kind of stories that the potential's been there for these characters, and put them in the right hands and just watch them go. And I think you're in a very advantageous place to get good creators and work with these templates and make interesting stories. So, no, I'm intrigued and very excited about Black Hood in February. So beyond then, like what follows as far as Fox and S.H.I.E.L.D.?
You'll see Black Hood, Fox, then S.H.I.E.L.D., and then they'll roll on their ongoings. And we're kind of in the middle stages of putting together a second wave. So,
okay.
Fingers crossed that the first one does great, and we'll be able to add some more titles.
All in February, or February, then March, then April?
One a month, February, March, April.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Very cool. Excellent, man. No, that's great. And, I hope at, the beginning of 2015, at the very least, I want to talk to Dwayne and and talk some Black Hood. I'm very excited about that. And then, you know, yeah, the other two, you know, certainly Volume 2. There's always a reason to talk to Dean Haspiel, and there's always a reason to talk to Mark Waid. And the same goes with the S.H.I.E.L.D. people as well. Very intrigued, man. I'm very excited.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, this is great. And you know, I mean, are you, you know, you spent a lot, you know, 5 years at D.C. and at a very creative period of D.C. as well when, you know, I think people like Geoff Johns and certainly Scott Snyder and, you know, a lot of established stars were really, you know, in the case of Geoff had already been there and you know, kind of making hay. But, you know, I think you saw the evolution of Scott. Are there things that you saw, obviously, at D.C. that you can apply and, you know, do your thing? Or are these ideas that have been bubbling with you for a long time and now you've got the platform to do it? How would you equate what you learned at D.C. and what you're able to apply to Archie?
Well, I mean, I think part of I've known these characters for a long time. I grew up as Archie was the first kind of comic book I read, and I saw these spreads of these superhero characters in the Digest and just wondered, wow, Archie has superheroes. And so that always kind of stuck in my mind. And, you know, working at DC was a huge experience. I can never diminish what I learned there and the great people I met, you know, and Geoff and Scott and Dan DiDio and Jim Lee and, you know, all the people I worked with. I think it really taught me a lot about how to really connect with creative people and the idea of, you know, letting them tell stories and just sitting back and watching that happen. And just from other editors that, as a publicist, I had to deal with guys like Will Dennis or Shelley Vaughn, sure. Mike Martz, Karen Berger, really, really classy people that know how to get the best out of their talent. And a lot of it is really just setting the table for the talent and letting them tell the story and being kind of an advocate for them. And it was really, you know, I don't claim to be even on that ledge of ability, but a lot of what I learned was just by osmosis, by seeing how these people operated. So I'm excited to actually try it out myself.
And as far as the other hat that you wear over at Archie and stuff, I'm curious in terms of just what you think of the media that's covering comics today, because that's certainly changed a lot in the last 10 years. And really, I mean, just the introduction, 15 or well, longer than that. But, you know, there was a time and I forget what years you worked with Newsarama, didn't you? Didn't you write for Newsarama back in the day?
I did for a long time. I was, you know, it was funny. I was right out of college and I emailed Matt Brady, who used to run the site with Mike Duran, and
yep.
I talked to them, and I said, look, I'm a journalist, like, and I'm happy to do this for, you know, a pittance. I just want to kind of combine my skills as a journalist and write about comics. And I think one of my first interviews was, like, Peter David talking about the end of Young Justice, or Ed Brubaker talking about this tiny miniseries called Point Blank, which eventually became Sleeper.
Yep.
Or was a precursor to Sleeper, and that really just kind of snowballed into a regular gig writing for Newsarama, and that was a big part of why I got the gig at Wizard and then eventually got the gig at DC. So, you know, the media landscape has changed so much in the last 10 or 15 years. I think now every major news outlet has order that is, you know, dedicated to either comics or pop culture or that kind of sphere, like places like the AP and other major mainstream outlets, whereas before it was very much, you know, comics press.
And yeah, fans.
Every now and again, something would percolate to the mainstream, but, you know, those lines are not as defined, and it's much blurrier, and that's actually good, because I think it's much easier for someone who's not as embedded in comics to see what's going on, which I think is great.
No question. You're right. And I mean, that's the big thing is how do you get the non-habit, you know, Wednesday warrior interested in what's going on in comics? And luckily, yeah, there is media interest from these big outlets that are saying, hey, this is fun and it's happening here. If you're not aware of it, you should be. And certainly where you're at now with Archie, because that's the thing, like Archie is such a household name and it's great that people like John and Mike and everybody, you and Roberto and all the creative and executive people that are, you know, moving the company forward can take advantage of the name recognition and, again, what we know and what is familiar about Archie and have the creative ideas to push it forward. And then, you know, I mean, Kitsch is good. And it's great. Like, God, when you guys announced that Lena Dunham was going to be doing something with Archie, it's like, oh, my God, that's brilliant. I mean, you know, now you've got another...
Yeah, I mean, or something like The Death of Archie or the way Flip Riverdale, the Riverdale story
played out. Absolutely.
it's you know, there's a hunger for these kind of stories, and people know these characters, so there's instant identification. I think the role of the publicist is really more shepherding information and knowing how to package it and how to explain it. You're very much a translator. You're telling the reporter why something is important and why their audience would care about it. And I think it's kind of a tightrope to walk because you don't want to sell too short. You know, you don't want to say, hey, this is going to be huge, because the next time the reporter won't think you're telling the truth. So you really have to be genuine and upfront with what the information is, and kind of let it steamroll from there. It's interesting. It's a much more nuanced thing than I think a lot of people think.
Will you be handling press for, you know, the TV side of some of these projects? And, you know, I know that there's a healthy animation slate that John told us about the last time he was on. And, you know, I know that there are other development things in the works and stuff. I mean, will you be handling the non-comic side of publicity as well?
I think anything that involves Archie, you know, John will want my, and the press, John and Mike and Roberto will reach out to me in terms of consulting on the press. The thing that happens when you are working with partners is that there's different people driving different parts of it, but I'll always have input, you know.
Okay. Very cool. No, I think, as you pointed out, no, it's changed a lot in the last 15 years. And again, you're somebody that came up the ranks through Wizard and Newsarama and everything to appreciate kind of where we are today. And it is. It's an interesting landscape. And, I, as far as I'm concerned, I think it's fantastic. And I also appreciate that I think everyone is coming from a different angle. And, you know, USA Today's coverage of something versus what I try to do is very different. And I'm glad that, you know, outlets are still willing to talk to little old me and, you know, kind of let me figure
well,
out my
it's also,
view.
I mean, each outlet brings something different to the table. I mean, you see a lot of different places with different flavors and a lot of different approaches. And, you know, a Newsarama or, you know, Comic Book Resources is a much,
sure,
you know, I feel like they can cover every aspect of comics. And then there's sites like USA Today or CNN that will dip their toe in and engage with the pop culture reader. It's everyone's got something for everyone else. And it's really, as a fan, it's a boon of information. It's all about finding the outlets that speak to you as a fan.
And as things get busier for you, both on the publicity side and now, you know, running the superhero line over at Archie with Dark Circle and everything, how the hell are you finding time to write novels?
I don't know. Everyone asks me if I sleep. I do sleep. I do go to sleep at night and wake up in the morning. It's crazy, man. I just try to power through things and maximize my time as much as I can. The publicity stuff at Archie obviously has ramped up in the last 6 or 7 months, just, you know, turning up the volume and setting up systems so we can get Archie out there as much as possible. And, you know, Dark Circle's a learning curve. I've never had to do kind of the ins and outs of editing, you know, from the exciting stuff like approaching creators to kind of the more mundane stuff like filling out invoices. You know, it's a learning curve. It's a new skill set that I'm trying to get better at, and I'm excited at the opportunity. But yeah, and then there's the novels, which those are my kind of dear to my heart, because Silent City was a story long gestating, I guess. So it was exciting to see it come out. It was it'll be almost a year ago.
I noticed
29th.
That. Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah,
man. I was looking at Amazon and noticing that it was in October of 13. That Silent City came out. Pete Fernandez, your detective character.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that was a great, you know, I was so blown away by the response to that and the review attention it got. And, you know, I've done a ton of book events to promote it and just kind of really hit the ground running. And the next book is written. We're just making a few tweaks and then hoping to find a home for it. And we'll see where it lands and see how that shakes. But it's a sequel to Silent City. It's the next book in that series. And, you know, a lot of people felt bad for Pete after reading Silent City, like, hey, you know, are you going to give this guy a break? And the answer is no. Alas, he is not getting a break. Things get much darker and much more dangerous for him in the second book. So I'm excited for people to read that. And, you know, it's really fun because I'm from Miami. I'm a huge crime noir fan. So getting to tell that story and really building that world on my own, kind of in my own head, has been, you know, it's been a dream come true.
And we should point out, you know, Pete, and I'm taking this from the book description that is right there on Amazon. Pete Fernandez is a mess. He's on the brink of being fired from his middle management newspaper job. His fiancée is up and left him. Now, after the sudden death of his father, he's back in his hometown of Miami, drinking himself into oblivion. But when a coworker he barely knows asks Pete to locate a missing daughter, Pete finds himself dragged into a tale of murder, drugs, double crosses, and memories bursting from the black heart of the Miami underworld. I like it. And shockingly, his father's passed. So that's, you know, there you go. There's the teaser. And you can, you know, go to Amazon, for example. Or is there a Silent City website or anything, Alex?
Yeah, if you go to alexsegura.com, I lay out all the buying options. You can order it directly on the site, or you can go to the publisher site. So many, many options. It's on every ebook platform, and you can get a print copy as well.
Excellent. And you said, and I've seen you talk about it on Twitter, that you have been invited to some crime novel conventions and get-togethers, correct?
Yeah, it's been really amazing. I've gotten to do a bunch of signings. We launched the book at Mysterious Bookshop downtown in New York City, which to me was amazing. You know, I mean, this is a place where people like Lawrence Block and James Ellroy and, you know, people like that of that caliber have had their launch parties or done events there. So that was huge. And I've done some signings throughout New York. I think probably one of the highlights was going back home to Miami and doing something at Books and Books a little bit after Christmas. And that's when, you see people you went to high school with, or, you know, my best friend from high school, his parents showed up and my parents were there. So that was really, really, really intense and a great way to just see all that come together. And just the next month or so, I'm going to be at two events. I'll be at this thing called Murder and Mayhem in Milwaukee, which is a kind of a low-key, a smaller crime conference, but it's really like 5 to 10 authors talking to one audience and a bunch of panels and signings. And then there's VoucherCon, which is very much the San Diego Comic-Con of crime.
I know about both events, actually, and especially being in Chicago, and Murder and Mayhem has been something that I've wanted to go to because guys like Rucka have done it before, and
right.
I've heard nothing but great things. And the same goes with VoucherCon. So, and like you say, that's the bigger event and stuff. But yeah, Murder and Mayhem, and that's the great thing. I mean, you know, it is a small event, but they get really good authors, and that's fantastic that you were, you know, invited to go, because yeah, that's a small but very great little forum. And then VoucherCon, fantastic, man. So yeah, do you know what kind of, are you going to do panels, or do you know what kind of
program? Yeah, at VoucherCon I'm actually moderating a panel, and you know, Dwayne Swarzynski will actually be one of the panelists, so it's a funny little coincidence that
fantastic.
I get to moderate a guy I'm also editing, and at Murder and Mayhem I'll be on a panel. There's just some great authors going, people like Chris Holm and Dana Cameron and Sean Trakover and Marcus Sakey, and I'm sure I'm forgetting a bunch of people, but, you know, I went last year. It was really great. It was one of those things. The book had just come out, and then I got to be on a panel with some great authors and meet people like, you know, and talk to people like Megan Abbott and Michael Corita and Corita and, you know, Howard Chaykin was there, so that was like an anchor to another world. So, yeah, it's been really a treat, and it's like a second career that I hadn't really expected forming, but it is.
That's excellent, man. Now that's really, really cool. And unlike Pete, things are going good in your personal life. I know you got married earlier this year. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's been a year already.
Oh, it's already. My God, I didn't realize that. I thought it was at the beginning of 14.
I can't expect the world to be up to speed on my personal life, which is fine.
That's all right.
It's totally fine.
That's all right. No, that's great, man. Excellent. And yeah, man, Silent City. So go to alexsegura.com. There's no hyphen or anything in that?
Nope. Just alexsegura.com.
Excellent. And you can find out how to purchase Silent City. And meantime, you know, look forward to Dark Circle debuting in February with Black Hood number one from Dwayne Swarzynski and Mike Gatos and David Mack alternate covers. So that should be very exciting. But very cool, man. No, you got some neat stuff brewing. And, you know, I always, as you know, because you've been on the line sometimes when I've talked to Archie people, I am blown away with the ideas that are coming from Archie, the creativity, and, you know, the proof is in the paper. And I think that's excellent. Or digitally, if you pick it up that way. So people can experience this stuff for themselves, whether they're reading, you know, the teenage stuff in Riverdale or also enjoying what you've got planned in Dark Circle. So nice going, Alex. Keep it up.
Oh, thanks for having me. This has been a real treat. It means a lot.
So there you go. Neat stuff as far as crime novels, and of course, neat stuff in Dark Circle Archie comics as well. Really happy to have talked to Alex Segura. You can count on Alex coming back and some of those creators as well to talk about what's going on with Archie's heroes. Man, I'll tell you, if they put in the kind of creativity that we've seen so far on the Archie side, I think we're all in good hands. And I'll tell you, I've been blown away, as I said in the interview, with the output of Archie product. That'll do it for today's Word Balloon. I hope you enjoyed it. Today's Word Balloon was brought to you by the League of Word Balloon listeners, as always. Thank you for supporting Word Balloon and my efforts here. If you'd like to help the cause and subscribe to Word Balloon, it's an option. It's not necessary. You can go to patreon.com/wordballoon and just $1 a month. If you can spare that, that'd be awesome. And if not, the very least you can do for me, pass the word on Word Balloon to your friends. Let them know that it's a good comic book interview podcast and you enjoy listening to it. They might as well. Leave me a review on iTunes. That would be fantastic. If you haven't done that, that certainly helps the cause over there and keeps Word Balloon in the iTunes audience public eye and gets me more of a chance to continue to grow the audience base and keep Word Balloon strong and going on. Word Balloon is also brought to you by InStock Trades at InStockTrades.com. Great deals are happening now at InStock Trades on things like Secret Avengers, Trade Paperback Volume 1. That's a Lesh Kotz run on Secret Avengers. It's 50% off. It's just $8.99. Dexter's Laboratory, Trade Paperback Volume 1, Dee Dee's Day, 50% off, just $8.99. Original Sin, Hulk versus Iron Man. It was a great story. It goes back to the beginnings of both characters and how they intersected in ways we had no idea until the original Sin event. But I think it was a really neat story. It's 50% off, and it's just $8.49. You can get from Brian Bendis and Mike Gatos. We talked about Mike Gatos in our interview with Alex Segura. The Alias Omnibus hardcover, new packaging, 50% off, just $49.99. You can get Batman hardcover volume 5, Zero Year, Dark City, 42% off. It's just $14.49. That's all waiting for you at InStockTrades.com. Don't take my word for it. Go to the website. Check out all the savings that are waiting for you and the amazing selections of books at prices you won't believe. InStockTrades.com. John Sutra saying thanks again for listening to Word Balloon. And thank you, as always, for your continued support. I hope you enjoy the show as you do each week. And more great stuff is coming up before October is finished and also into November and beyond. So keep your ears tuned to Word Balloon. Until next time, Word Balloon is a copyright feature of Shaky Productions, copyright 2014.